Richard Norman begins every morning at his University of Utah office by making a cup of espresso. Like so many of us, the morning routine and the caffeine jolt helps to get his brain cells firing. But he knows a little more about this than most people. 25 years ago, he invented an electrode device that can be implanted into a human brain. It was the first of its kind and is capable of allowing researchers to listen to a group of neurons communicating with each other. This simulation represents 20 neurons firing at the same time, just a fraction of what can be heard with Norman's device. Previously, people used single wires and could only hear the signal of one or a small number of neurons, says Norman.
But the way the brain works is not by individual neurons telling the body how to move. The brain works by large numbers of neurons working in concert to achieve a certain end. And you're never going to understand what is the spatial and temporal pattern of neural activity with a single wire, a single microelectrode.
Already, Norman's device, which contains 100 electrodes, has helped researchers to better define and treat epilepsy, identify patterns of neuron activity that define speech, and even control the movements of a robotic arm by a paralyzed patient using only her mind. Two groups of researchers have so far achieved this goal. One of those stories was told last December by Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. He profiled Jan Sherman, who is paralyzed from the neck down due to a degenerative disease. A group at the University of Pittsburgh implanted two of Norman's electrode arrays on the surface of Jan's brain and closed up her skull, leaving two computer connections on the outside.
5 months after the surgery, we came back to see whether she would be able to control the robotic arm with nothing but her thoughts. They plugged her brain into the computer, and this is what we saw.
I can move it up and straight down and left and right and diagonally. I can close it and open it, and I can go forward and back.
That is just the most astounding thing I've ever seen.
Norman and his colleagues are themselves using the Utah Electrode Array, which is now sold by the local company BlackRock Microsystems, for many projects. One goal is to help amputee patients not only control a robotic arm and hand, but also to let the patients feel the things they touch through sensors in that hand. Because amputee patients retain active nerve fibers in the stump of the arm, the Utah group is working to place the electrode arrays in the arm rather than in the brain.
My ultimate fantasy, and I don't think it's much of a fantasy, is a person who would be fitted with such a robotic prosthetic arm and hand would no longer think of this as a piece of hardware hanging on the end of their amputation. I think they would begin to think of this as their arm and hand.
Achieving these rather remarkable feats in prosthetics and other brain-related fields are due to decades of progress in mapping the nerves in the arm and in the brain, says Norman.
We know where the senses of touch are, the motor parts of the brain, which tell our body to move in space, where the visual parts of the brain are, the auditory parts of the brain. We do know where these rather large global areas of sensory and motor parts of the brain are and cognitive parts of the brain. But that's about as good as it gets.
He adds there is still much that needs to be discovered, including how the brain produces complex thoughts and behaviors.
The real bottom line basic question is consciousness. What is it about this collection of large numbers of neurons that, when working in concert, produces our ability to be aware of ourselves? That's an unbelievable question that, you know, we still are kind of in the dark about. So there's a lot of basic understanding which needs to be gotten about how the brain works.
And that's one of the goals of the Brain Initiative, which stands for Brain Research Through Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies. Norman is one of 15 members of the working group that will be meeting over this summer to identify promising areas of study. He says they are on a fact-finding mission.
The goal of this group, I think, is to look at existing technologies, hear about other people's thinking about new kinds of technologies that could be used to address these problems, and to have a better sense how we could begin to solve these more complex problems over the next decade.
Identifying ways to develop new sets of tools for recording neuron activity in the deepest and hardest to reach parts of the brain might be one of their aims, as well as figuring out ways to research new interventions for brain disorders. But Norman cautions that this will take money. much more than the $110 million currently proposed for the initiative.
Perhaps the best outcome is that we might be able to get a bit more money from our Congress to support the area of neuroscience, as it's been identified now by President Obama as being one of the great challenges of this decade.
Norman says this would be a better approach than shifting existing funding away from other promising research. The working group is scheduled to deliver an interim report about their findings at the end of the summer and a final report next year. For KCPW and Explore Utah Science, I'm Kim Shusky.